And the thing is, after all these years, I still look back with wonder.
Hey there, Wonderlings. Angela Bowen here, the host of Looking Back on My Wonder Years of Wonder Years podcast. And today, we are going to be talking about Season 5, Episode 23, entitled Back to the Lake, which aired on May 6th, 1992. This is the IMDb description. As summer begins, Kevin is dismayed that almost all the fun of previous summers is gone. Well, you're 16 years old, of course. It's not going to be nearly as fun as it was when you were younger. All his friends are working summer jobs, and his dad wants him to do the same. Feeling that the world has turned on him, Kevin and Paul head back up to the lake, where Kevin hopes to find a girl he met at the lake a year earlier. Well, you never know. This episode has an 8.3 out of 10 rating on IMDb with 119 people rating on it. It was directed by Michael Dinner and written by Neil Marlins, Carol Black, and Mark Levin. So the girl who plays Kara, the actress's name is Lisa Page Robinson. I'm just trying to see what all... She was in Beethoven? Oh, that's Donna Ditsworth, I think her name was. Okay, yeah, I'm picturing that in my head. I've seen Beethoven a million times. Let's see. Although that was around the same year that she was in The Wonder Years. She played on the show Brooklyn Bridge for an episode. The Others, I've never seen it. CSI Miami. Invention of Lying. Oh, she's actually got an upcoming. The Wrestler. Wait, that's not upcoming. That came out in 2013. Upcoming, my butt. Maybe it's just not released yet. So this girl, if you think about it, when I see her, like, when I saw her in the lake episode, it made me think of, I know it's not Melissa Sue Anderson who played Mary Ingalls. I know it isn't her. Of course it's not her. But it's like, she looks like she could pass for Mary Ingalls. Kind of. Minus the blindness. Alright, let's look at the booklet description. Kevin takes Paul on a joyride up to the lake where he met Kara. Featured songs, Venus by Frankie Avalon and On the Road Again by Canned Heat. I had to look up the song Venus by Frankie Avalon. I'm like, that's not the Venus song I'm thinking of. I looked it up on YouTube. The Venus song I was thinking of, I guess, is by Bananarama. You know that song, Venus, She's Got It? Oh, baby, she's got it. That's the song that was in my head. I'm like, no, that's not the song that would be playing in a 1970s, you know, Wonder Years episode. So, all right. I'm going to jump into the quote here. This is the beginning quote from Adult Kevin. When I was growing up, summer vacations meant one thing, fun. With a dad like Jack, I can't see how your summer vacations would be fun. We've seen Summer Song. We know that was not a fun vacay. Well, it probably ended off. Okay. 2 solid months of goofing off, hanging out, and sleeping late. June, July, and August were a time where anything was possible. When the hardships of school were over and the promise of great times lay ahead. As for me, that summer of 1972, I was 16. Still young enough to bask in the pleasures of summer. The real delights. The harbingers of doom. It was grim. Within hours of his graduation, my brother had been shanghaied by the American workforce. Not that I wasn't sympathetic. Still, it was about time the Wayner got a taste of the old Puritan work ethic. I mean, after all, this was Wayne's problem, not mine. Until, of course, it was. Oh, God. Here they came. Those two words which meant death to summer fun. Oh. You mean get a job? No, wait, that's 3 words. Alrighty, let's jump into this episode. All right, looks like we're opening the episode with a home movie. We get to see, and I swear we've seen this scene before in, like, Summer Song, where Jack is taking little 3-year-old Kevin into the water at the lake. Oh my gosh! So yeah, it shows the kids burying Jack in sand and everything. They're at the picnic table. And then we get footage. I think this is from the pilot episode, or maybe it's like footage they shot, but they didn't use for the pilot. Because we got, at first I saw like Paul from season one. I'm like, is that Paul? And then I see Wayne and then Kevin. I'm like, okay, this is from the pilot episode when they're all, you know, hanging out in the street playing football or whatever. So I'm going to play this clip as we flash forward to present day as Kevin is coming in the house after playing basketball with his buddies.
Growing up, summer vacation meant one thing. Fun. 2 solid months of goofing off, hanging out, sleeping late. June, July, and August were a time when anything was possible.
Everybody.
When the hardships of school were over and the promise of great times lay ahead.
Honey, you're late for supper?
Oh, sorry, I was playing ball.
Time for eating. Yeah, I'll eat you up something.
Great.
As for me, that summer of 1972, I was 16. Still young enough to bask in the pleasures of summer. The real delights. The harbingers of doom.
Wayne, what's the matter with you?
None of your business, dork.
What, is he sick?
Worse.
He got a job.
Oh. Your father found Wayne a position at Norcom.
On the loading dock.
You're kidding.
It was grim. Within hours of his graduation, my brother had been shanghaied by the American workforce.
Well, congratulations, Butthead. I'm sure it'll be good for you.
Shut up, Scrooge.
Not that I wasn't sympathetic. Still, it was about time that Wayner got a taste of the old Puritan work ethic.
Oh, come on, Wayne. Don't look so miserable.
One more word, and I swear I'll kill you.
Ooh.
Here you go, honey.
I mean, after all, this was Wayne's problem, not mine.
And how about you?
Until, of course, it was.
Me?
You. What are you going to do for a summer job?
Well,
Oh, God. Here they came. Those 2 words that meant death to summer fun.
Start looking.
So Kevin comes in the door, washes his hands, and Norma's like, well, you're late, you missed dinner. And he's like, and she's like, oh, yeah, I'll heat you up something. And Kevin goes over to the fridge, opens the door, and they have orange juice actually in a glass container instead of a carton. So Kevin's just sipping right out of it, which that seems more of a Wayne thing to do. I don't know. But Wayne is depressed because his dad made him get a job, like, right after graduation. He hooked him up with a spot at Norcom, which I just remember Private Butthead. Remember Wayne's like, oh, I'll just get a job at Norcom. And Jack's like, oh, they'll never even let you in the door. But no, it's the loading dock. It might be a low man on the totem pole, but it's a start. I mean, in season 6, I believe he does eventually move up to the mailroom. Which, what exactly have you... You know, you build up your muscles and stuff doing the load and dop thing. And then you can move to, you know, inside and, you know, mailroom and stuff like that. So, yeah. I mean, think about it. I mean, Norcom's got to pay better than any fast food or any... Like, Kevin's gonna... I think this is where he starts at the Chinese restaurant. I think. Yeah, because we see Mr. Chang. I'm sorry. So Kevin says, hey... He sits down at the table, says, hey, don't feel bad. Wayne's just like, shut up. If you don't shut up, I will kill you. And Norma kind of sets a plate in front of Kevin to eat, for him to eat. And that's when Jack has the paper in front of him, folds it over, hands it to Kevin, like, what about you? And Kevin's like, well, what about me what? He's like, you, what are you going to do for a summer job? Here you go, here's the want ad, start looking. Like, ugh. I don't know, is that the youngest you had to be is 16 to get a job, probably like fast food and stuff like that? Or have they upped it to like 18? Because I know some places don't want to hire teenagers just because of, I think some teenagers do give companies kind of a, like, they give other good teenagers a bad rap by calling in and goofing off and not taking the job seriously. So that probably makes employers a little hesitant, like, how do I know you're not going to be calling in or not showing up and stuff like that? How do I even know you're going to last 2 weeks, let alone a month? So I got my first job in the summer of 1999. It was at, it was at Burger King. It doesn't exist anymore, the one I worked at, like, 3 different times. So, but it was a learning experience. I was only there for, like, a month or so because they stuck me on back cash before they had, register back there. So it's basically, they'd give me the total of what the order was. So the person would give me the money. And I was still a little I didn't have it down pat, really, with the making change and everything. So, like, oh, at the end of the month or so, like, oh, your drawer was short this much. We're going to let you go. It's like, I didn't get talked to earlier. It's just, like, and I remember the day I got let go, it was, like, the rainiest day ever. And I had just gotten my license, and I was still learning how the interior, as far as, like, the defrost and everything. So, of course, I'm driving. My window's fogging up. I have to pull off at this. It used to be a 7-Eleven. It was changing to a convenience store, and I just kind of hung out there till the rain kind of let up for a little bit. But I remember going to the farm and telling my dad, and he's like, you didn't like that job anyway. It's no big deal. So, yeah, I think a month later I would have gotten into McDonald's, and then a month after that I would have gotten into Family Fair, which also doesn't exist anymore in my old town. So Kevin's, like, shocked. Like, he can't believe his dad just uttered those words, get a job. So now he's kind of relaying all of this to Paul and just rehashing, like, can you believe it? My dad told me to get a job and blah, blah, blah. And it's summertime and why should I have to work and blah, blah. Like, damn, Kev. It sucks. But summer's just, you're not always going to have summers where you get to be just carefree and everything like that. By the time you hit 16, 17, your parents probably are going to want you to join the workforce, get a little bit of work experience, because you're going to need that on your resume when you want to actively start looking for work before college. Not many employers are going to be like, oh, this says you have 0 experience. Well, I don't know if I should hire you. What other qualities do you have? It's like they need to have something to base your work ethic on. What you're saying isn't going to be enough. I'm going to play this here with Kevin talking to Paul.
Start looking. Can you believe that?
Naturally, I took my case to a higher court.
I mean, here it is. 2 days in the summer. And he wants me to get a job. It's not fair.
Well,
I mean, what do you think I am? Some kind of machine?
Well, you do have a point.
Of course I do.
Yep, I was building an airtight defense here.
Besides, I mean, it's only June, right? There's plenty of time to look for.
Sure.
I mean, we just finished finals. We deserve a little relaxation.
Sure.
And there it was, a manifesto worthy of the Bill of Rights.
My game.
Want to play again tomorrow?
I can't tomorrow. I'm working. I got a job.
Paul, this is totally unacceptable.
The rotten, no-good traitor.
Look, Kev, I didn't have a choice. My father knows the owner of this restaurant, Mr. Chong.
Wait, you're working at a Chinese restaurant? What are you going to be doing, chopping onions?
Well, actually, I'll be functioning as assistant manager. Organizing the kitchen, supervising the busboys.
Well, that's great. I don't believe this.
What?
Come on. We're going to be working for the rest of our lives, and this could be our last great summer together, right?
Well?
There. What could he possibly say to that?
If you want, maybe I can get you a job with me at Mr. Chung's.
Thanks, but no thanks, Paul.
Kev.
No, really, it's fine.
After all, if Paul wanted to squander his youth, what did I care?
Okay, so that's how we learn how he gets into Mr. Chong's. Paul's dad set him up. And Paul is an assistant manager at 16? Wow. Well, I mean, you look at Paul and you look at Kevin. Who looks like he's got the better work ethic? Paul does. Kevin, we've seen him in some jobs. You know, he's a complainer. He doesn't want to work hard. So, you know, he and Kevin are playing basketball, and I was just kind of like, where are the other guys? You know, Ricky and Chuck and Randy and whoever else. I guess they didn't, the people didn't want to afford to pay any extra actors for this episode. Like, just make it about Kevin and Paul, which is cool, because I don't know. Like I said, I've never really been a huge fan of Chuck. Ricky's, he's all right. Randy, meh. I mean, anyway. So Paul offers, like, hey, I could get you a job here working with me. And I'm thinking, yeah, Kev, it beats having to actually go out and look. And you'd be working with your friend. Granted, he'd be supervising you. Which, yeah, that's not going to feel all that great. But, I mean, I'd take him up on it. And it looks like he is. Because in the next scene, Kevin's dressed up. You know, he's got a nice button-down shirt and everything. He doesn't have a tie, but... And I kind of get what Kevin's saying. It's like, we're going to be working for the rest of our lives. This could be the last great summer. I'd say your last great summer was 15, Kevin. Once you hit 16 and above, it's all like summer jobs, graduation college, more work. You're not going to have any real vacation time until, say, you've put in your time and... You can take vacation time from your job. Then eventually you'll get married, have kids, and it'll be all about the kids having a vacation and everything. So I'd say that fun summertime cutoff age is probably going to be about 15. Maybe 16. Oh, Winnie's working now. Oh, she's working at a diner. I thought he was going to go do an interview with Mr. Chang or Chong. So, Kevin heads into the dinner, or the diner to pick up Winnie, because she's working as a waitress there, and it's 8 o'clock, I guess she's supposed to be getting off of her shift, like, oh, remember we had a date tonight, she's like, well, actually the manager asked if I could do, switch shifts with someone, so it turns out I'm here till 11, and he's like, so what, every single night, and I guess, so is this just... I thought this was a one-time thing. Apparently it's not. Okay, it's 11 o'clock. Yeah, that's gonna... But she's a minor, though. That's what I'm wondering. How many hours are minors allowed to work? I mean, if they're in school, if they're underage, I can only imagine them working maybe 20 hours, 15 hours a week, maybe? I don't know what it would be. I mean, it's not full-time work, but still. So I'm going to play this clip as poor Kevin's disappointed. Everyone he knows has got a summer job, and they're working. It's like, jeez.
Boring.
Winnie!
That just left me more room for...
Kevin!
My nights.
Hi.
Winnie Cooper. The very reason summer evenings were invented.
You almost ready? What time is it?
It's almost 8. You get off in 20 minutes, right?
Well, not exactly. I have to work till 11.
11? Yeah, I thought we had a date tonight.
Well, we did, but the manager asked me to switch shifts.
What? You mean every night?
I hope you're not mad.
Well, no.
Hey, so we'd had a setback. We could work this out.
We need to talk to him, okay? For us. I mean, think about it. We could take starlit drives, roll down the windows, turn up the radio.
Yeah, I was cooking here.
Maybe drive up to the point and...
Waitress!
Rats.
Kevin, I can't.
find me? While you're working, what do you expect me to do?
Well...
No, no. Not her. Not Winnie. Not my best girl.
Maybe you should get a job.
Damn insensitive. He actually has the nerve to ask her, hey, talk to your boss so you can get off at 9 o'clock or whatever and go drive around with the windows down and the music up and looking at the stars and go to the point and make out. And this is like, he's like, please do this for us. Kevin, what the hell is wrong with you? You are putting her in a hell of a spot. Like, here, put me above everything else. And then he also has the nerve to say, well, what am I supposed to do? It's like, yeah, she even says, get a job. Ooh, this guy, dude, we have seen him since season one, and his attitude has not changed, like, at all. If anything, he's 1,000 times worse now that he's older and he's got a car. But I guess since he's not working, Norm is going to put him to work. Like, here you go. You can sort through all this crap and whatever's garbage, throw it away.
Sort out the junk and throw it in the trash. When you finish with the closet, I want you to start on the garage.
Evidently, there was no end to this.
Mom, Kevin, if you're not going to have a job, it's only fair that you help with responsibilities around the house, right?
Right.
There you had it. The verdict was in. The courts had ruled.
I don't believe this.
I'd been sentenced to June in hell. 2 months of hard labor, heavy lifting, chores. It didn't seem fair. Not that I minded work. I just couldn't shake the feeling that out there, the world was full of adventure. Romance. Memories.
Kara.
Kevin, I want you to take Wayne's sheets down to the laundry room.
Wayne's sheets?
Okay, enough was enough.
So, Norma pretty much lays it out for Kevin. It's like, if you're not gonna get a job, you're gonna help around the house. You can start with the closet. Then we'll move on to the garage. Oh, and here you go. Here's Wayne's sheets that you can put in the washer. And Kevin's just look of utter revulsion. It's like he's sitting on the bed, which he plops the sheets down. And he kind of moves over as close as he can to the box that's on the other side of him. Like, ugh. Yeah, Wayne's sheets. I don't, But while Kevin's rifling through that box, he comes upon a Christmas card from Kara. She says, Merry Christmas, Kevin. I wish you were here. And she's got a black and white 4x6 photo and not smiling. That sort of thing. She doesn't really, she's not a smiler, Kara. So this gets Kevin thinking, and now he's going to get on the phone, probably to Paul, to see if he wants to do a little road trip. And Paul's the assistant manager. He's not going to have time to just take off and... You're going to put Paul in a predicament. That's the thing. Kevin always expects other people to sacrifice for him, but he's not willing to sacrifice for them. And the fact that he's sitting there thinking, oh, it's not that I mind work. No, you don't like work at all, buddy. Don't tell me. Don't sit there and say, well, it's not that I don't mind work. Like, you mind it. You don't want to do it.
I was a man at the end of his rope. It came down to this. I could spend my summer hauling sheets or take the softest, cushiest way out I could find.
Hey, Paul? Yeah, listen. Is that job still open?
I mean, after all, how bad could it possibly be?
So, yeah, Kevin calls up Paul, like, hey, you still got that job available? And Kevin thinks, oh, this cushy job, like, how bad can it be? And we get there, and everyone's shouting, it's in the kitchen. Kevin, this isn't going to be a cakewalk. This isn't a simple job. So I think this is kind of racist. We get the sound effects of, you know, ducks, and then we also get a cat meowing. It's like, come on. I know that the people seem with Chinese restaurants and, oh, they eat cat, they eat dog. Like, but we don't need to hear that on the Wonder Years. Come on. So Kevin is chopping onions at the pace of a turtle. It's like, and Paul's kind of peeking through the double doors to Kevin. Like, hey, Kev, how's it going? Kevin's got an apron on. He's wearing a paper hat. Basically, it's going. It's going. It's not the glamorous job, but I know that Kevin eventually is going to, like, take that out on Paul. Like, you can be the assistant manager, and I have to do this. It's like, you got to start somewhere. You're going to have to start at the bottom. You can't start at the top like Paul did. So Kevin's all, he's got an attitude. It's like, how does it look like it's going? And Paul kind of comes up like, oh, is there something wrong? And Kevin's like, yeah, I thought I'd be doing what you're doing. What, the assistant manager job? Are you shitting me? You're not going to be doing that kind of work. And with your piss-poor attitude, you're lucky that you're cutting onions. I'm surprised they're not going to have you clean off the toilets to go with your shitty attitude. So I'm going to play this clip. Kevin is such an ungrateful brat. Paul got him that job. He stuck his neck out for Kevin.
Stupid question.
Hey, Kevin, how's it going?
How does it look like it's going?
Is something wrong?
I thought you told me I'd be doing what you're doing.
Not exactly. I said I'd see what I can do on short notice.
Well, thanks for nothing.
Hey, Feng Guilu. Bat dao zi gei wo. Hao zhong guo. Cai kong xiang xiang xiang. Wan de li qian ku huo xiao ne.
What'd he say?
I think he said those onions should be chopped a little finer.
Great. Just great.
Look, Kev, don't get discouraged. I'll tell you what. In a few days, I'll see if you can get moved up to noodles.
Hey!
Yes, sir.
Long stay, ma.
Huh? Yes, sir.
Fighty.
So, Paul says, you know, I tried to see what I could do on such short notice. Probably most of the positions were already filled. This was probably a last-minute thing where Kevin's just going to do, like, the little finer... While everyone else is cooking, he's probably going to be, like, he's doing. He's chopping the onions. Apparently, he's not chopping them finer enough because Mr. Chang, or Tong, comes up to him and he starts yelling at him in Japanese or Chinese. Great, now I sound racist. Guys, I am so sorry. Chinese. And it doesn't take a translator to understand that the guy is not happy with Kevin's work. And Paul's kind of watching this interaction between them. And Kevin's looking at Paul like, what did he just say? And Paul, the gist of it, he's like, I think he pretty much said, you gotta cut the onions finer. And then they get, Mr. Chong is yelling at Paul, like, get back out there, out in the dining room, and, you know, be an assistant manager and oversee everything. So Paul leaves, and the guy's like, finer. Like, okay. Now, it's after Kevin's shift. He's at home kind of bouncing a basketball on the floor in his bedroom, just kind of living in Sucksville right now. Well, dem's the breaks. We all got to start somewhere. We all can't have an executive position in a high-rise. Well, on the plus side, I did get a raise yesterday, which was pretty awesome. I was told possibly the station that I'm at might be getting phased out next year, which really freaks me out because I can't work on a... I mean, I probably could work on a line with people, but I can't keep up, and I feel more comfortable working, you know, by myself or, like, with one other person. I mean, I don't want to call it, like, simple jobs or something. They said they could find something that I could do that just wouldn't be, like, very stressful and stuff. And I don't know, I'm really hoping and I'm praying that maybe if the workload isn't a whole lot, that maybe they'll keep just me on there. I don't know, guys. I'm nervous. I've been at that station since I started over 4 years ago, and the thought of not having that, it's almost like become my second home, that station that I work at. And my coworker and stuff, I mean, heck, and then if that's the case, he and I probably won't hang out together anymore. And I don't know. I'm a little worried, but I'm not going to think much about it. I mean, that's still like 11 months from now, so who knows what's going to happen in that short amount of time. So, I just got to stay positive.
In fact, I had joined the ranks of the gainfully employed, and there was nothing I could do about it but sulk.
Kevin? Are you all right in there?
Don't come in, I'm naked.
Things had gone from bad to miserable. My best friend was a jerk. My best girl was on a career track. And the only person who understood me. Seemed a million miles away.
So Kevin's so frustrated, he takes his basketball and chucks it at the space between the door. Well, it ends up hitting the door and knocking a poster down. And his mom's like, Kevin, are you okay in there? And he's like, don't come in, I'm naked. And she's like, oh, okay. So Kevin sits down and he looks at the Christmas card with the picture of Kara again. And we get this flashback of back at the lake from season one, or from season 5, episode 1, and how Kevin makes a move, he kisses her, and, you know, she says, I thought you were going to light my cigarette, and we flash back, and now he's convinced Paul to come with him to go up to the lake. Like, that can't look good. Both of you guys just started that job, and Paul's an assistant manager. That could be a blotch on his record. So here's that clip.
Examining the layout of the kitchen? Pretty inefficient. I mean, I'll just try this on for size, okay? What if we take all those jars and put them on the high shelves? Then take the cans and put them in the cabinets to the back? So that way the busboys won't be knocking into the sauce jars when
there are times in a young life when you have to do something for yourself. When you have to stand up for what you believe in. When the world has closed the door on adventure. And your only choice is to bust out.
Kevin, what are you doing?
I'm calling sick today.
What?
You heard me.
But we can't do that.
Wait a minute, where are we heading? North. To the lake.
Oh, okay, this was a total surprise for Paul. Is I guess they're going to be headed to work, and Kevin makes a U-turn, as in he's driving over a median that's separating two lanes. When he sees, you know, Route 17, he decides, that's it, we're calling in sick. We're going to go north to the lake. And Paul's like, Kevin, we can't call in sick. It's like, we just started these jobs, I'm going to get fired. Wow, 3 hours, huh? Ugh. I'm sure Paul was complaining and telling Kevin to turn back every single second of those 3 hours. Does he just park on a bridge? He just comes to a stop. Like, at first, like, oh, there's a convenience store. Like, wait, no, that's a bridge. Why are you just stopped on the side of the road? So I'm going to play this clip here as Kevin thinks, oh yeah, this was irrational, but it was the smartest thing I've ever done. And that's when Paul's like, this is the stupidest thing you've ever done. Nobody knows where we are. It's like, we could be murdered and no one would know where we are. They would never find our bodies. So I'm gonna play this clip.
It took about 3 hours to travel the distance from drudgery to paradise. From hard labor to summer memories. Sure, it was irresponsible. But deep down, I knew it was the smartest thing I'd ever done.
This is the dumbest thing you've ever done. Do you realize that no one in the world has any idea where we are?
So? It's part of the adventure.
I don't want an adventure. I'm an assistant manager. I want to go home.
Face it, the guy had all the derring do of a newt.
Look, we came all this way, so you might as well enjoy. Besides, we're not leaving until we find her.
Who?
Kara.
And how are we gonna do that?
Don't worry. I know where to find her.
Yeah? And where's that?
Easy. Drive-in.
So Paul asks, what the heck are we doing here? And Kevin's like, hey, I'm looking for Kara. It's like, great, where are you gonna find her? And Kevin's like, well, let's go to the drive-in. And it's desolate as hell. Nobody else is there. We even see a tumbleweed blowing in the wind. So either it's just early, you know, it's daylight out and everything, or this place has been defunct for the last year. Like, it was hopping when he was there a summer ago, but now it's like, where the hell's everybody? It's summertime. They don't play movies during the day. You wouldn't be able to see the screen. There's a bulldozer there! I'm really thinking this place, this drive-in is no longer a drive-in if there's a bulldozer there. There's that tumbleweed. Yep, they're tearing it down as the bulldozer guy is like, what the hell are you doing here? Damn it, I gotta clear out all these poles! This place is defunct. It is now non-existent. There is no drive-in movie. Well, that sucks. I guess all you got now left to do is like fishing in the lake and swimming in the lake. And
well, at least we got good seats.
So we're here a little early. Have a little faith, will you? She'll show up.
Yeah? When?
I don't know. When it gets dark.
Great.
Yep. All we had to do now was sit back and wait for destiny to take its course. Destiny for 1 6-ton bulldozer.
Hey, what do you guys think you're doing here?
We're waiting for someone.
We'll wait somewhere else. We're tearing this whole place down. Now get out of here.
Got any more great ideas?
A few.
Well, one or two anyway. Okay, none.
So Paul just kind of looks at Kevin like, you got any other ideas? Because Kevin's just thinking, oh, if we wait here till nighttime, she'll show up. Really, will she? That was a year ago. Maybe she's not into drive-ins anymore. And so basically, Kevin is fresh out of ideas. Now Paul's on the phone to Mr. Chong. You should have gotten to a phone ASAP and just called and said, hey, we're running late. Mr. Chong is PO'd as we hear him screaming out of that payphone.
Hi, Mr. Chong. Hi, it's Paul. Yes, sir. I know I'm late, sir.
3 hours later, we called home.
Yes, sir. No, sir, it wasn't deliberate.
It was horrible.
Yes, sir, I still want to work for you.
After half a day scouring the territory, we'd reached a dead end. Not a sign of her anywhere. My plan to bust out, it turned out to be a bust. And now, there was nothing to look forward to, but... true love.
Yes, sir, we're on our way home now. Kevin, where are you going?
Nowhere.
Kevin?
So Paul's kind of fielding questions. He's like, yeah, it wasn't deliberate. Yes, I still want my job. Please don't fire me. So basically, Paul's like trying to save face. Like, hey, we're on our way. It's about a few hours. Something happened. As Kevin says, they kind of wandered around for a bit and they hadn't seen her. So Kevin sits down at the park bench while Paul's on the phone. And then Kevin just glances you know, side eye at the... They're right outside a convenience store. Or a country store. I think it's a country store. And Kara comes out and she's smoking a ciggy. And then she goes back inside. My guess is she probably works here. So, what is the... If I were Winnie, I would be pissed as hell. It's like, you went 3 hours to go visit a girl you met up at the lake a year ago. When you're dating me. That makes zero fucking sense. What? Because Kevin wants some damn clarity in his life?
There was no going back. It was a moment worthy of great poets.
What are you doing here?
Well, you know, I was just, I was... Actually, I came to see you.
Oh.
I missed you.
I missed you too.
Bingo.
So, you think maybe you can get off in a little while?
It seemed like my whole world was riding on what she said next.
I'll see what I can do.
Great.
So Kevin walks in there and she's surprised to see him and he's like, oh, I missed you. And she's like, yeah, I missed you too. And he asks, like, hey, do you think you can get off for a bit? And she's like, oh, I'll see what I can do. This is going to get back to Winnie. I can imagine this is going to get back to her and she's going to be angry because the fact that he would drive 3 hours to see this girl when he's in a relationship already. But anyway, it's dark out now. Kevin's driving. Paul's in the back seat because Kara's riding shotgun. So, luckily, I mean, we know Kevin keeps his job, but I don't know what happens to Paul because we don't see Paul later on in the episodes when Kevin's working for Mr. Chang Chong.
That evening, driving through the dark, surrounded by the sounds of summer night, I was certain I'd found what I'd been looking for. Sure, Kara and I hadn't seen each other for 8 months, but somehow, I sensed everything was right. It was perfect. The night, the stars.
Look how clear the sky is. Summer's great, isn't it?
I guess.
It was like nothing had changed. Well, almost nothing.
Did you get my Christmas card?
Oh. Sure. Yeah.
You didn't write me back.
Well, you know, I'm not... a writer, but I thought about you a lot.
Kevin, why are you here?
I told you. I drove all the way up here to be with you.
My God, didn't she understand?
You wanted to see me, didn't you?
Yeah. It's just kind of a surprise. I mean, it's been a long time.
And the way she said that, the sound of her voice, the look in her eyes, I guess I knew what had to happen next.
Wait.
What's wrong?
I better go home.
What?
drive you home.
No, I'd rather walk. Carl, wait. Carl!
You're back.
Yeah.
Where's Kara? Kev? What happened?
The problem was I hardly knew myself.
None of your business.
Oh, fine. That's just fine.
I'm going to sleep.
What, here? Kev, we are not, repeat, are not
going to... Oh, can you just get off my case? It's late. And I don't feel like driving home tonight, all right?
Suit yourself. Good night.
Yeah.
Of course, that night I didn't sleep. I lay there, feeling bad about what I'd done. Running off, full of summer madness. Using Kara. Leaving Winnie. I felt like a stupid, selfish adolescent.
So this is a hell of a low blow for Kevin. You know, she says, hey, did you get my Christmas card? And he's like, oh, yeah, I got it. And she's like, well, you didn't write me back. And he says, well, I'm not much of a writer. That whatever about that. He leans in to kiss her. You are dating Winnie. You know, now I'm not feeling so damn bad about what she did at the fucking country club. You almost cheated on your damn girlfriend. It's like he went up there hoping to recapture the magic of when they were at the lake and he met her and everything like that. And she kind of pulls back. As then it's like, well, she eventually says, you know, I'm seeing someone in the scene coming up. But it's like, yeah, she's not having a shit. It's like, yeah, I sent you a Christmas card. You didn't send me back one. And now you want to make out. What the hell? She's like, I gotta go. I gotta work tomorrow. And I notice how, even though he says Kara in his mind, in the car, later, when he gets back in the car, he says Kara. It's like, make up your mind. Is it Kara? Is it Kara? We've heard Kara. So, you know, Kevin gets back to the car, and Paul's like, Kev, what's going on? Where's Kara? And he's like, I don't know. She left. So Kevin's like, all right, just none of your business about what's going on. And Paul's like, oh, that's just great. So Kevin's like, well, I'm going to sleep. And Paul's like, I'm not sleeping here. And, you know, Kevin's like, well, I'm too tired to drive. I'd be like, then let Paul drive the 3 hours. So you can get home. Because this is utter bullshit. And you really inconvenienced him. If he wanted to go, why the hell didn't he go by himself? He's a piece of shit friend right now. He's trying to live off these damn dreams and fantasies of what happened last summer. It's like, you can't do that. You know, 8 months have gone by or however many months. It's just, it's not the same. You've changed. She's changed. You're in a relationship, which you clearly forgot about. But he's thinking about that now as he's resting in his car about how he almost screwed over Winnie and could have messed things up. My guess, yeah, like I said, that's what next episode, the season finale is going to be about, is her finding out about him taking off to go see Kara. I would have kicked his ass if I were her, if I were Winnie. Hell, I would have kicked his ass if I were Kara. It's like, who the hell do you think you are coming up here and trying to put the moves on me like that? Thinking that you can do that just because we spent a few days together a year ago.
Yes, I was.
Okay, we follow this road into town.
Think we could take a shortcut to Barton's Crossing.
Right.
Then it's a straight shot down to I-91, so make sure you get plenty of gas.
Whatever you say, Paul.
The next morning, I'd made up my mind about two things. One, I was never going to spend another night in an Oldsmobile. And two, somehow, I was gonna have to make this right.
I'm sorry about last night. About not writing. About coming up here and...
Yeah, well, about that.
No, let me finish.
It was time to tell her. I had a life. I had a job. I had a girlfriend.
See, Carl...
Kevin, I have a boyfriend.
What?
We've been going out since February. I should have told you last night. I'm sorry.
Well, that's great.
You think?
Yeah. I really do.
I mean, who was I to stand in the way of true love?
Hey, send me a Christmas card.
I will.
But I didn't. After all, when you're 16, 8 months is a lifetime. And time had moved on. For both of us.
Traveling at night, the headlights were bright, and we'd been up many.
As for me, I had my own roads to travel.
And all through my brain came the refrain.
Wait a minute, what about the gas?
We got enough. But, Paul, come on, we don't have time. We gotta get back.
Home sings me of sweet things. A light, oh, I'm standing.
May I help you?
Sure, I had a restless spirit. But I knew what was good for me.
Yeah. How about a shake?
I
can
have a time back.
I'll be here.
The way I saw it, the summer was young.
All right, well, Kara comes out. Is Kevin supposed to be getting gas? He doesn't. And she says, well, he goes to apologize. Like, I'm glad that he did. You know, he's like, I'm sorry about last night and everything. And she's like, Kevin, I have to tell you, I have a boyfriend. And he's like, oh, okay. So before she leaves, she says, hey, send me a Christmas card. And he's like, yeah, sure. And, of course, we hear in the narration that, no, he didn't. He's 16. You know, too many other things going on in his life. You know, he's got his girl, his job. So Kevin gets back in the car, and I'm thinking, what about the gas? And it's funny because Paul says the exact same thing that I'm thinking, like, what about the gas? And Kevin's like, ah, we got enough. And Paul's like, Kev? And Kevin's like, Paul, it'll be fine. All right, we got to get back. Like, yeah, we got to get back. I've been telling you that for the last 24 hours. So we hear them, you know, the song playing and everything. And it's a cute song and everything. But I think they pump the volume up way too much when he gets back to the diner and he's talking to Winnie. Because you can barely hear the dialogue. I mean, yeah, all he's saying is like, she says, oh, can I help you? And he's like, yeah, I'll have a shake. And then she says, okay, I'm on it. By the way, I get off in 20 minutes. And, you know, Kevin's just like, the summer's young. He's young. He's going to have, you know, work and have fun and just enjoy the summer. So maybe he just needed clarity to see Kara. I don't think that's it. I don't know what his real intentions were. So that's the end of the episode. I'd have to say for this episode, I'm gonna give it, I'm gonna give it a 3 out of 5. The only two things I didn't care for, I didn't care for Kevin almost cheating on Winnie by going in to kiss Kara. I didn't like his piss-poor attitude that he was giving to Paul when Paul hooked him up with that job. The things I did like, I liked Jack saying, okay, you're going to work this summer, you're going to get a job. Since Wayne's got a job, you're going to get a job. I do like that... I like Winnie working at the diner. I thought that was cool. I liked Paul being able to get Kevin a job. Also, you know, with the thing with the drive-in, they're just sitting there and just, I'm sure Kevin's thinking of all the magical nights he had at the drive-in a year ago and just like, oh, it's being demolished now. And maybe that was like a good slap in the face of realization. And even when Kara said she had a boyfriend, like whatever you were thinking of doing last night was not going to happen. Regardless, even if she had to work or didn't have a boyfriend, it was not going to happen. Wonderling words of wisdom. How about this? If you want to take time off to go up and see someone, that's great. Why don't you put in a couple weeks' notice? You don't just not show up to work, get where you're going, and then make a phone call 3 or 4 hours later saying, oh, by the way, I'm not coming in today. We don't see Paul at that job again, so my guess is he probably got fired. How Kevin kept his job? I don't know. He would have had to beg. So let's talk about the season finale here. All right, tomorrow will be the season finale, season 5, episode 24, entitled Broken Hearts and Burgers, which aired on May 13th, 1992. A misunderstanding at a burger joint causes Winnie to give Kevin the cold shoulder. Kevin tries to patch things up while remembering the moments that brought Winnie and that brought Winnie both closer and away from him. All right. Let's say a hello to some Wonderling listeners. Real quick, let me do this end of the episode narration. Kara, hey, send me a Christmas card. Kevin, I will. Adult Kevin, narrator. But I didn't. After all, when you're 16, 8 months is a lifetime. And time had moved on. For both of us. Alright, let's say hey to some Wonderling listeners. We got Delhi, India. Dublin, Ireland. Centerville, Maryland. I think this is Malaysia? Jersey City, New Jersey. Milton Keynes, United Kingdom. Noida, India, Mexico, Alicante, Spain, Bakersfield, California, Vineland, New Jersey, Washington, D.C., Albuquerque, New Mexico, Okemos, Michigan, and Columbus, New Jersey. All right, everyone, look forward to Friday for the season finale, season 5 finale of The Wonder Years. All right, have a great day, everyone.